Jeremiah 42. Jeremiah, and we talked about him the other day, but, you know, he's given this impossible task to us. It's impossible. But it was what God told him to do. And that's why it's so important to that you know, that we know what God's will is. So that God's will is for me. Because people will tell you what God's will is, won't they? They'll tell you what God wants you to do. And so you have got to make sure you are connected to God so that you know His will in your life. You know, obviously, beginning with salvation, accepting Christ our Savior and our sins washed away by the sacrifice on the cross and the assurance of hope in heaven by the resurrection. And we have that confidence in Christ. But more than that, by having His Holy Spirit in us to pray and to know His will. Obviously, knowing that whatever we're doing is not going against His word. That's automatic. But then also to know specifically, particularly, what does He want me to do? And Jeremiah was given this to preach, and God said they're not going to listen. And so what would we say? Then why preach if they're not going to listen anyway? Because they need to have an opportunity to repent. They need to at least be warned. And not only that, but they need to know that God does care. And so preach, give them that opportunity. Well, he preaches that, you know, they're going to be invaded, that it's going to fall, and it happens. Jerusalem falls. Jerusalem falls, and actually Jeremiah was kicked out. He was banned from coming in the temple because of his preaching, and then it falls. Then he ends up in prison. Jeremiah, the man of God, in prison. Imprisoned for preaching it. Imprisoned for preaching that an invasion would happen, and then it happened. Well, then he's given this opportunity. He's given the opportunity to become part of the Babylonian government or to just stay. An opportunity even to go to Egypt. And he chooses to stay. Well, he goes to join with a man named Gedaliah. Gedaliah was appointed the governor of Judah by the king of Babylon. And so obviously that's the... The power that controls there was Babylon at that time. Jeremiah goes and he joins himself there in Mizpah. And not only Jeremiah, but many Jews began to come back. After the invasion, they came back to Mizpah and they joined up with Gedaliah. And it was a time of harvest and they had a great harvest and they were blessed. And how many of us are happy when we have everything we need? Everybody happy when you have everything you need? And they were. They were satisfied. Well, they had everything. They didn't worry about anything. And then Gedaliah gets killed. Not only Gedaliah, but many of the Jews that had joined themselves to him were killed. Jeremiah wasn't, obviously. But they were... So here's what happens. We're living here. There's an invasion. Some of us are killed. Others flee. Right? Then there's hope, so they come back. Then that guy's killed. They flee again. Those that weren't killed flee again. And what kind of life is that? Always running. And by the way, Israel's experiencing that today. You know, the Jews are under constant threat of attack from their neighbor, you know, the enemies that are around them. And so this back and forth and insecurity and uncertain of anything. And the people were weary. How many of you have been weary in your life? Somebody was talking to me today and they said, Pastor, just seems like everything's falling apart. Just seems like nothing is right in my life. It's one thing and then another. And sometimes it feels that way. And we can relate to that, can't we? We've been in seasons where it just seems so uncertain. And where is God? Well, here we come to chapter 42. You glad we finally got there? It says in verse 1, all the captains of the forces of Johanan, son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least even to the greatest came near. And they said to Jeremiah the prophet. So they were running, they were coming back, they were settled, they were happy, they were enjoying. Then there was more trouble, more turmoil. And now they finally go to the man of God and they say, look, we need some direction. We need some guidance. They said in verse 2, let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us. Go and pray on our behalf. We just went through a few prayer requests, but the list that we have is very long. Of those who need prayer, those who want prayer, those who want us to go to God on their behalf. And so it's not something unfamiliar to us. And they go to Jeremiah and they say, pray for us. But they have a specific prayer. Here's the prayer. Verse 3. That the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. We want to know God's will. Isn't that what we all want? I want to know God's will for my life. I want to know what God wants for my life in general, which we have that in the scripture. And I also want to know what God wants for my life specifically. You know, there are important decisions in life, right? I don't have to pray whether or not I should get saved. God wants us all to get saved. I don't even need to pray whether or not I should get baptized. God wants that. Now I might pray which church I should go to get baptized, which church I should become a part of, and what I should do in that church. Should I be a song leader or even in the choir, a musician or a Sunday school teacher or whatever role God might want for us in the church? Lord, is this something you want for me? And then beyond ministry, you know, marry, right? If you're not already married, that's something you want to think about. Do I need to get married? And then, you know, big purchases, jobs, moves, all that kind of stuff, decisions. And sometimes we're like these people, and we've been faced with so many struggles and so much conflict that we say, God, we must be doing something wrong. Show us what you want. Show us. And so they go to Jeremiah. They say, pray. Verse 4, Jeremiah said to them, I have heard you. That's important. That is so important. It's important that we, as ministers, as the church, when we go and talk to people and they share their burden with us, it is important that we hear them. It is important that we hear what they are saying. Not what they say, but what they are saying. Hear what they're saying. Because how can we help someone if we don't listen? And maybe the direction they're going is not the direction you think they should go, but hear what they have to say. And Jeremiah says to the people, I hear you. I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God. Hold on a second. Did you look in verse 3? Did you notice that, Andy? In fact, he says it in verse number 2 and verse number 3, that the Lord thy God, they say to Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, I'm going to pray to the Lord your God. I'm going to pray to your God. Not, hey, he's not just my God. He's our God. He loves all of us. We are all his people. Now, he's speaking to them. Of course, we know not everybody has faith in Christ. But he says, he's your God too. And it's important that we don't, you know, get divided in this idea that somehow we need somebody between us and God. You don't need a preacher, a priest, a pastor to go to God on your behalf. You, as a child of God, can pray. And if you're not a child of God, you can pray and ask God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and then he will hear any prayer you got. Might not answer it the way you want, but he'll hear it. And you don't come to me with your prayer. I'll pray for you. I pray for you anyway. And so when I pray for you by name each day, but I may not know your specific need, and so maybe you come to me and say, Pastor, would you pray about this? I'm happy to. But understand something. You have the same access that I do. They go to Jeremiah. Now, again, we're in Old Testament here. Jeremiah the prophet has the Spirit of God. He has that anointing of God. Jeremiah has that special access that they didn't have. But he's reminding them, he's your God too. He says, I'm going to go and pray. According to your words, I'm going to say your prayer, what you've asked. I'm going to tell him what you've asked. And it shall come to pass, whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you, and I will keep nothing back from you. I'm going to tell you exactly what God says. How many of us would like to know exactly what God says? And so he said, I'm going to come back. I'm going to go and I'm going to pray. And when I return, I'm going to give you the answer God said, and I'm going to tell you exactly his answer. And then they said in verse 5, the Lord is true and faithful witness between us, if we do not, even according to all the things for which the Lord thy God shall send to thee to us. They said, Jeremiah, that's exactly what we want. We want to know God's will. And I'll tell you something, Jeremiah, whatever God says, that's what we're going to do. We want to know His will. We're going to do His will. We're going to obey whatever He says. How many of us have ever made that promise to God? God, if you open this door, if you'll do this, if you'll show me that, I'm going to do exactly your will. Make sure we do. Because He's listening. He's listening. They say, we're going to do exactly what you say. Whether it be good, verse 6, whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God. That changed, didn't it? To whom we send thee, that it may be well with us. Understand that the best for us is whatever God says. God's will is the safest place in the world to live. It's the most enjoyable, most satisfying, most gratifying place to live is in God's will. It may not be comfortable, but it will always be comfortable for the Spirit. And so they say, we'll do it, whatever it is. It will be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. They understand, they get it. And it's like Sunday morning, altar call. They're convicted. They look at their lives and they say, something's got to change. They go to the man of God and they say, talk to God for us. We'll do whatever He wants us to do. We are committed. We are ready for a change. I hope you can relate to that in your life. Because sometimes life is so upside down, squirrely, and we look to God and say, God, we're ready for this to be right. And we'll do whatever You say. We're surrendered. I surrender my life. I know there was a point in my life where I came to God and I said, God, I've been saved a long time, but I'm going to surrender my life. I'm ready to do whatever You tell me to do. I know my sins are washed away, but I'm ready to play by Your rules. I'm ready to live by Your standards. Verse number 7. It came to pass after 10 days. We pray. We want God to answer it now, don't we? We want God to fix it. We go to God and say, God, I need you to hear this prayer. I need You to know this burden. I need You to give me a solution. I better come back tomorrow and pray the same prayer. And keep praying and keep searching and keep asking. 10 days he prayed. What prayer do you think Jeremiah prayed in those 10 days? We had a friend that passed away yesterday evening. In the morning, his wife texted and said, pray for him. I prayed for him throughout the day. Throughout the day, I prayed for him. Throughout the day, I prayed for him. You see, when there's a burden on us, we pray about it throughout the day. It's not something we just say in the morning or just at lunch or in the evening. Something we split up and just do 3 times a day. But every time it comes to our mind, we pray. We lift it up and say, God, help him. God, heal him. God, whatever it is, the answer would be desire. We ask for it. For 10 days, Jeremiah prayed. Now, I don't know that he didn't do anything else. He may have just gone back to quarters and prayed and prayed and prayed, or gone down by the river and prayed and prayed and prayed, or wherever he prayed. Or maybe he went about his daily routine and just prayed about it each time the burden came up. I don't know. Doesn't tell us. But I know this, that prayer was on his lips and on his heart for 10 days. Finally, and can you imagine the people? Texting him, what'd the Lord say? Messaging him, what'd the Lord say? Knocking on his door, calling him in the middle, sending him emails. What's the answer? Because I know that's what happens now. What did the Lord say? What did the Lord say? After 10 days, the word came to Jeremiah. And then he called all of them together. Verse number 9, he said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present supplication before him. If ye will still abide in this land, then will I build you. You see, really what they were praying about, and I know pastors that have done this, they pray, Lord, what church do you want me to go to? Where do you want me to go? I'm done here. Show me where to go now. Right? They say, Lord, show me where. I'm done with Tallahassee. I got to go somewhere. Show me where to go. Do I go to Egypt? Do I go to Syria? Do I go north, or do I go south? Which way do I go, Lord? Do I go to Jordan or Edom? Do I go? Which way do I go? Because this place is unbearable. That's the prayer. You understand? That's the prayer. This place is intolerable. I got to go somewhere else. Show me where to go. And God says, stay where you are. I like that kind of response. God says, stay. If you stay, verse 10, if you will still abide in this land, then will I build you. Isn't that what they want? Their homeland ravaged. God says, I will build. I will not pull you down. I will plant you. Did you ever get tired of wandering? Wandering? He says, I will plant you. I will put you here, and I will not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I've done. God says, look, I tell you what, you're a remnant. He said, I'll tell you the same thing I told Noah. I could start over with you. He says, I'll tell you the same thing I told Moses when I was getting ready to wipe them all out. Moses, I'll start all over with you. Isn't that what he told Moses? And God says to this remnant of people, he says, guys, I know it's just a few of you compared to how many there were. And I know that the land's been destroyed. But I tell you what, I could start over with you. Man, isn't that exciting? And God could start over with you. God could do a great work with you. If you stay. So many years, and you know, the first church that I pastored, there were six members. I was number seven. And it grew, and it grew, and then I went to another church. And it grew, and it grew, and of course, over the last 16 years, we've grown. I know that when we come in and there's a small group, I don't just mean on a Wednesday night, but I mean, you know, church, and people say, well, it's too small. You know what happens? Families will come by, and they won't stay. Why? Not enough people. And people will come in and say, well, I can't stay. There's not enough people. But if I had all the people that came through in the lean days that wouldn't stay because their children needed programs that we didn't have, in their minds, their children needed programs. I tell you, when I grew up, how many of y'all grew up in church? Didn't have programs, you had church. And you got pinched. You sit there and be quiet, right? And you color your fingernails with a pencil from the pew and all that kind of stuff. Went to church. There wasn't a program. It wasn't a water slide during church. But, oh, I got to go somewhere else. I got to go somewhere else. Boy, if we had all those families back that through the years wouldn't stay, we wouldn't be able to fit all of them, especially now. But, I mean, we wouldn't be able to fit them all. That if you'll stay, I can build you. If you can stay here, I will plant you. If you will stay here, look, he goes on and he says in verse number 11, be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him. I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand, and I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. God says, guys, we got everything we need right here. Isn't that incredible? Everything we need right here. God says, I can make it happen. These people were looking to go somewhere. All they wanted to know is where. God says, you don't even have to pack. You're home. Is that the end of the message? Not the end of the chapter, is it? God says, but. Verse 13. If you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go to the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war. Oh, it's safe over there. And I tell this so many times. U-Haul and Ryder and Penske have this business. And you can rent a truck in Tallahassee and drive it to New Jersey. And you don't have to bring it back. You know why? Because there's somebody in New Jersey that needs that truck because they're coming to Tallahassee. You're passing people on the road, and they're going where the grass is greener, and you're going where the grass is greener. And the problem is, you weren't looking at your own grass. God says, stay where you are. I can make it happen here. But you're looking to go, you know, well, you're not satisfied with your marriage, so you think you're going to get out of this one and marry another one. I got news for you. Most of the time, When people do that, they marry somebody just like the one that they got rid of. That's true. We could take a survey. And then about, you know, a few years into it, they say, boy, if I'd known this, I'd just stay with the other one. That's why God said, stay with the other one. But that's, you know, God's always right. And so, and I know that's not always the case. So I don't need the feedback on that. Now y'all got me. Verse 14. But y'all want to go to Egypt, he said, where there's no war, you don't hear the sound of the trumpet, right, calling in the battle, and nor have hunger of bread there. See, y'all have already got it in your mind that that other place is better. You've already got it in your mind that over there it's going to be so much better than here. I won't read it. Let me just tell you. God said, here's what happens. When you get there, the problems you had here are going to follow you. That's always true. Don't run from your problems. Face your problems. Do the counseling. Have the talk. Do what needs to be done. Fix it. Don't run from it. Stay where you are because you got everything you need right where you are. And if you run, you say, well, it's better over there. You're going to find the same thing you left. By the way, what do you think happened? They went to Egypt. They went to Egypt after God told them not to go to Egypt. Not only did they go to Egypt, they made Jeremiah go with them. Because they said, it's down there. We've got to get out of here because this place is so terrible. We've got to go somewhere else where it'll be better. It's always better somewhere else till you get there. Brother Miller told me one time, he said, and this was, I was probably 20 years old. He said, Derek, if you ever find a perfect church, as soon as you join it, you'll ruin it. Now, he wasn't just talking about me. He said the same thing of himself. But the point is from the outside, it's always so much, you know, because you don't see all the inners. Now, we've got a great church. But understand something, it hasn't been without its struggles. If I'd have quit, every time I thought about quitting, I'd have been gone a long time ago. And you wouldn't believe some of the silly things that people run your preacher off for. But I, most recently, somewhat, you know, and this has been several years ago, boy, I prayed about quitting. You believe that? I didn't want to quit, but I was just wore out. And somebody called me and said, I just want to encourage you. I said, well, thank you. I appreciate that, but I want you to know I'm doing pretty good. He said, well, you didn't seem like you were doing real good last night. I said, I wasn't. But I And I said, God, do you want me to quit? Because I'll quit. I'll get out of the way. Right? If I'm the problem, I'll leave. And God said, if you abide still where you are, I will build you and I will plant you. And I will show mercy. And don't be afraid of that king over there. I got him taken care of. God took care of it. And it's great. Look, and I hate that anybody ever has to experience that kind of stuff in a church. But I'm glad that God brought us through those things. And is continuing to move us along and build us up and plant us and show mercy. Let's not run to Egypt just because we got a problem here. By the way, I don't know of any problem here now. We got visitors. I have to qualify that. I don't know of any problem we have here now. Don't run to Egypt just because you got your feelings hurt. Don't run to Egypt because it looks better over there. Because when you watched them on TV or on Facebook, it looked like everything was great. I can say this. The more deeply you get involved, the more likely you're going to find something you disagree with or somebody you disagree with. And hopefully that only comes along every once in a while, because I tell you what, I don't like it. But I've learned not to run from my battles. And by the way, I've been that way. Guys, the first church I pastored was a tough church to pastor. God put me there, but he put a backbone in me first. And had I not had a backbone in me first, it would have happened to me like it's happened to so many others. My first pastor would have been my last. And I would have gone in. I had a good side job. I could have done that and been just fine financially. But those problems that I ran from would have followed me. And so I didn't run. I stayed. I stayed until the church was healed of all of its trouble. And then God let me leave. But if we flee to Egypt believing there's peace and plenty, all the stuff we seek to escape is going to overtake us. We need to know that. Whether that's in a job, whether that's in a marriage, whether that's in a friendship, whether that's in a church, whatever. Even in a community. You say, well, I'm going to move out to the woods. Let me tell you, the city catches no matter where you go. I learned that over the years. What if I'd quit from every battle? We've got to put our trust in God. But we've got to pray. By the way, I prayed. When I was ready to go, when I wanted to go, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, can I go? And he said, go. It's the only reason I left the first church. I never would have left it. I would have stayed no matter what. If that's what God wanted, that's what I was committed to do. And these people here came to Jeremiah with the facade of, we'll do whatever God says. They already had their minds made up. They knew what they were going to do before they prayed, before they asked Jeremiah to pray. Remember what God told Jeremiah early on? He said, Jeremiah, don't pray for these people. Remember that? He said that. Jeremiah, don't pray for these people. But they came to Jeremiah. He went and prayed for them. God said, all right, I'll tell you what. If they come here, I'll make it a great life. But if they go, their problems are going to follow. And that's exactly what happened. We have got to be loyal to God, committed to God. And we've got to make sure, you know, again, I didn't leave that church, and I left the second church, and here I am. But not until, I did not leave those churches until God told me I could go. And once God released me, I left. That's how it works. Now, for those who will want to ask me later, I'll tell you now, I've already asked God to let me stay here till I die. So. But the church has the ability to fire me even if I don't want them to. So just so you know where I stand. You don't have to call. Are you leaving? No, I'm not. Not planning on it. But God wants me to do. I'm committed to that. And I hope you are too. Let's stand. Father, it's so good to be in your house and to look at these things and to just refresh our hearts to know if we don't deal with the conflict and the problems that are before us, that we'll find them wherever we run off. So God, strengthen our hearts, comfort our hearts, solidify us in your will. We want to serve you. We want to do what's right. God, we realize that here you have everything that you need to do great things. And we surrender ourselves to you. Nor do great things in us. Forgive our sins, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.